Welcome to segment two of the TKO. Here on the second segment, we're going to look over some upcoming MMA events. First up, we just want to mention that Bellator 36 is coming up on March 12th this weekend. Mm-hmm. For some of our listeners that may not know, it's more of a tournament-style setup. Yeah. They have different rounds of the tournament at each event that they have. So this is the lightweight tournament. It's going to be the quarterfinals, so they have four fights going on. Mm-hmm. They're going to have Patrick Freire, I guess, versus Razor Rob McCullough. That's, one of the big names coming from WEC, anyone a lot of people know. Remember Rob McCullough, he was the champ for a while there.
Right.
The next fight is Farid Keter versus Toby Amata. Then they're going to have Lloyd Woodward, who is actually an undefeated fighter at 10-0, going up against Cary Vanier. And then they're going to have Marcin Held versus Michael Chandler, who is another undefeated fighter at 5-0.
And this is a pretty good step forward for Bellator, kind of, I guess the little brothers of, Strikeforce and UFC, and now getting a pretty big deal being on MTV2.
Yeah.
So some of you out there who might have MTV2, haven't really been able to see Bellator. I think it's only been maybe on Versus a couple times or something like that. So kind of, a good deal for a lot of the MMA fans out there. Bring it to, another level and be able to kind of see that tournament progress.
Yeah, and the thing that's interesting with a tournament style like that is you get to kind of see the same guys come back and fight again, in the next event, So it's sort of the same guys you just watched at the last one.
And
so
they do have some good fighters in Bellator. Yeah. Roger Huerta, when he got out of UFC, went there. And some of the champions in Bellator are some really good fighters.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that lightweight tournament progresses. Obviously, the big event that all of us anyway are really looking forward to is UFC 128.
So exciting.
Coming up on March 19th. The main event there, Shogun Hua versus Johnny Bones Jones.
Yes.
Is for the light heavyweight title anyway. And Brad, I'm just going to go ahead and toss it to you because I know you're just waiting for this one.
I mean, wow. First off, I was really excited for this card just in general because at first I thought it was going to be Rashad versus Shogun, which everyone knows I'm a huge Rashad fan.
Yeah, I think everyone on the show here is a big fan of Rashad.
Right under Rashad, though, is like Bones Jones. And so when I heard that, Rashad was injured, I was crushed, and I thought the card was going to, not be so good without him. And I don't like Shogun as a champion. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there.
Agreed.
I think he's a paper champion. I don't think he deserves it. But anyway, moving on.
Aside from any of that.
But yeah, now that Bones Jones is on, and I think he's the next big thing, I couldn't be more excited for this fight, especially after the last card.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad card. It looked worse on paper than it really was, but still wasn't a great one.
Yeah.
So I feel like they came back on this one and was like, we're going to make up
just
for that
overloaded
one.
This one.
And I'm so excited. Like, there's not really one fight that I'm not really excited to see on this entire card.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is obviously at the top of the list. I mean, Shogun Hua, like you said, a lot of people don't like him as champion. I mean, I think he earned the title. I'll give him that. But as far as, being a lasting champion, I don't think he is.
Yeah.
And I do think Bones Jones is kind of the next big thing at the light heavyweight division. He's had that one blemish on his record, and it shouldn't even be there. I mean, he was destroying Hamill before he got disqualified in that fight.
Yeah.
So, he hasn't really had a bad performance yet.
No. And there's a new wrinkle in his game. I mean, every time he comes out, last time it was kind of looking laid back and very calm, and I was kind of like, what is it? And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he explodes and
gets a submission. Well,
that's what we were all kind of expecting, some of those elbows to come out, and then he just kind of, like you said, sat back, was real crouched, and walks away with a submission.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to see.
So I'm really, like I said, and here's my thing with Hua, maybe some people don't understand why people have a problem with him. He didn't have very many great fights in the UFC. He won some and got a title shot, lost the first time, immediate rematch, won the second time.
Yeah.
The problem is, I think most people have, is basically he lived off his name from Pride.
From Pride, yeah.
Once they took over Pride, it was like, oh, Shogun's this guy. I'm kind of like, well, show me something, because Pride talent is not the same as UFC talent, and it's been that way for a long time.
Let me read you his UFC hit list, we'll call it. Comes to the UFC back in 2007, loses to Forrest Griffin. Beats Mark...
Which was crazy, because Forrest Griffin choked him out.
Yeah.
Like, rear-naked
choke. Yeah.
Beats Coleman, who was an old rival, I guess, back in Pride. But which is
years ago.
Not just that, but Coleman was able to stand for basically the whole fight, and which was shocking to everybody that Coleman lasted as long as he did, which really took points in my book away from Hua.
Right.
Yeah. Beats Chuck Liddell, who at that time, this is in 09, but still he was he was over
Chuck
the hill.
Liddell
he was declining. Lost to Machida. Somehow he managed to fight Machida then after that Liddell win, lost, and then got the rematch. So this is a guy who doesn't have much of a UFC hit list.
Yeah.
He's beaten some guys that were over the hill, and yet somehow, so I would agree with you, Brad, that he is a paper champion.
And that's what people have a problem with, is that he basically lived off his name. And it's like you see people like Uriah Faber, Miguel Angel Torres, you know, these people are coming in and they're not getting, you know, just, oh, bump them up to the top of division. They have to work their way up. I mean, Miguel Torres is fighting some no-name guy, you know, for his next fight, you know, because he has to work his way up the ladder.
You kind of see this with people that came from Pride, though. I mean, when they got Dan Henderson, you know, his first two fights in the UFC were title
belts.
Shots. Yeah, he fought two title shots in a row that he lost both, you know, and it's just like, I don't see where your fighting in Pride necessarily gets you that much respect.
And it was funny with Henderson because the same thing, he came into Strikeforce and, you know, first fight was against Jake Shields for the belt and he lost. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, you gotta keep your resume up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
to me,
some of these people are just living off their names. And I'm not saying that your past record shouldn't reflect on you as a fighter, but the game's evolving so quickly, you have to keep that going. You
can't just keep a losing streak going. And that's the situation you run into with another guy on this card, actually. Yoshihiro Akiyama has a fight coming up on this card against Nate Marquardt. And Yoshihiro Akiyama is on a two-fight losing streak. You know, he lost to Chris Lieben, and then who was the other one?
Bisping.
Michael Bisping right after that. And now gets another fight against, you know, one of the better guys in the 185-pound division in Nate Marquardt.
I mean, honest, Rob, do you have stats there on Akiyama if we can kind of see what his...
His record lately?
Yeah.
Since he's only been in UFC since 100, he beat Alan Belcher, but then he lost to Lieben, lost to Bisping. So a great example Jason just made is that he hasn't proven that he's been great. I mean, he was great in K1, but, you know, he just hasn't proven it, and yet he's still continuing.
I mean, and they keep on giving him, you know, big fights, big cards. He's not on a fight night, you know what I'm saying? He's not on the undercard. I mean, you know, it's like... They're hyping him up, and I haven't seen it yet.
He's on on the main card of a major UFC event and against a really good opponent. You know, I mean, it seems like they're still trying to get one of these two guys to step up and get another title shot at 185. And I don't see either of them really as title contenders right now.
Not really. Akiyama's not shown me much.
Yeah.
And, I was really excited to see him the way that they were hyping him up. And I haven't seen really anything yet, you know, to be like, yeah, he's really good. You know, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, perfect example. You kind of hit it on the head right there with that one.
And then another guy you were bringing up that sort of, you know, has to work their way up, Uriah Faber, you know, has a fight on this card also, Uriah Faber versus Eddie Wineland coming up. Rob, do you have any stats there on Eddie Wineland?
Yeah, I got those stats on Wineland right now here.
Okay.
He's on a 4-fight win streak. He's obviously coming from WEC. He's beaten Ken Stone, Will Campuzano, George Roop, and Manny Tapia. So
it's kind of everyone's beat George Roop.
The level one boss.
Yeah. So, you know, Wineland has some wins, you know, not exactly a title contender in that division, but, you know, Faber's got to sort of work his way back up, it looks like.
Yeah, so. Do we have some stats there, too, on Uriah Faber there, Rob?
Yeah, I sure do, Brad. Faber, we were just kind of talking about a minute ago, he's been very up and down. Let me read you his last six fights. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win.
And a lot of the same opponents in there.
And that was Mike Brown, Jens Pulver, Mike Brown, Rafael Astonanko, Jose Aldo, and Mizugaki.
Yeah. Which, I mean, Jose Aldo, can you really count
that? Yeah, you can't count that
one.
I mean, and I think in both fights he had against Mike Brown, I think he broke either one or both of his hands in those. So
I mean, he is definitely a contender in whatever weight class he's in. And for a while, you know, kind of was the face of WEC.
Yeah.
You know, really, they struck gold with that. You know, had a lot of endorsements.
Mm-hmm. He had 6-7 title defenses in a row at featherweight? I mean,
he had been on a 13-fight win streak.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
And it looks like 5 of those were straight in WEC. He started back in January 20th, 2007, McCullough versus Cope was his first event.
I mean, he's a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of the losses, the dude's a beast.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see that one.
Yeah.
You know, really see him get in the UFC, because that's what, if you've been a Uriah Faber fan, you've wanted him in the UFC for a long time.
Yeah, it was just too bad that they didn't have his weight division, and now they do. And actually, he dropped down a weight division. He used to be the featherweight. Now he's down to bantamweight, which is, again, just another boost to that bantamweight division. It's looking stacked right now.
He wanted to stay away from Jose Aldo.
Yeah, he really did. I think everyone wants to stay away from Jose Aldo. That guy's a monster.
Yeah, he really is. looking forward to the card that he'll be on.
Yeah. the next fight on the card we want to talk about is Jim Miller versus Kamal
Chalarus,
who is undefeated, actually. He's 7-0-2.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of weird with a guy who only has 9 professional fights to have 2 draws, but you know, technically undefeated. So
and Chalarus is a beast. So I'm really excited to see him. And the Millers, I mean, both of them, the brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hard-nosed fighters.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to walk over them, and they got heart, you know, so... I'm definitely excited to see this one. I think this is going to be a really good one. I would even go as far as say this has potential fight of the night written all over it.
Really?
I think it's going to be a scrap, a real good scrap. People are going to know who Chalarus is, and I think we're really going to find out a lot about Miller in this fight.
Yeah, so. I'm interested to see Chalarus just because I've heard some good things about him. And Jim Miller, again, 19-2. I mean, he's just a scrappy fighter. Both the Miller guys. Jim Miller, 19-2. Dan Miller also on the card. He's 13-4. You know, it just good, hard-nosed fighters always put on a good fight. So,
from Jersey.
Yeah, it'll be good to see both Miller brothers on this card, throwing their game out there.
And who is the other Miller fighting?
The other Dan Miller is fighting Nick Catone, who, again, is another tough fighter. He's 8-2, that should be a good fight also at the 185, the middleweight there.
Be exciting to see the Miller brothers do what they do.
Yeah. And then the last fight on the card we're going to talk about, on the main card anyway, is going to be Mirko Krokop versus Brendan Schaub, which is a fight, one of the undercard fight kind of things that I'm really excited to see.
Mm-hmm.
Mirko Krokop is one of those guys who, his striking is phenomenal. He can always knock you out with a one shot, one kick.
Mm-hmm.
Just, he's always, dangerous to catch you with something.
Right.
And Brendan Schaub, he's 8-1. He's coming up through the heavyweight division. I think he's got potential to be a title contender pretty soon here.
He's got the height, the reach,
mm-hmm.
and he's got the athletic ability, being a former football player.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of that weird mix of being big, but at the same time, extremely quick.
Yeah.
You know,
hence his nickname, the hybrid. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and so whenever you see an athlete like that in the UFC, you want to keep your eye on him because those guys can be dangerous, and especially if they have the work ethic.
Yeah.
To take that into the gym with them and then take it into the fight with them.
And this is a guy that's proven he has that work ethic. You know, he started on the Ultimate Fighter and actually didn't win the season he was on. I think he was in the final, though.
Yeah, it was the Ultimate Fighter 10. He was in the finale with Nelson. And what's I think interesting about that is he kind of lost more to experience and athletic ability. There's no way Nelson's more athletic than Shaw.
Oh, definitely not.
He just lost to the experience of Nelson.
Yeah.
So he's gone back and improved his game, and he's on a 3-fight win streak. Some good guys too. Gonzaga, his most recent victory.
Yeah, right. Which is very impressive. I mean, Gonzaga's one of those perennial contenders in the heavyweight division. He's just a tough guy to beat.
And so if he loses to Krokop, I think it will, maybe shed some more light on, Schaub might need some more work, but I think most people probably have him winning this fight. And I think either way, it's going to tell a lot about the future for both fighters, depending on who loses. I wouldn't be surprised if Krokop was kind of on his way out if he loses this fight, and Schaub kind of going back to the bottom of the division and working his way back up if he loses this fight. So.
Okay, so we're going to go through now and just sort of give our prediction of the winner anyway. We've given some analysis now. Now we're just going to pick our winners. So, Brad, for Shogun versus Bones Jones, who do you got?
This is a tough one. Bones Jones.
Okay, honest, Rob?
Jones.
I have Jones as well in that one. Next fight, we're going to go Uriah Faber versus Eddie Wineland. Brad, who you got?
I'm going to go with Uriah Faber. I got faith.
All right. Honest, Rob?
I'm actually going to follow with Brad, too. I'm excited to see Faber coming into the UFC, so finally. So yeah. I'm going to go with Uriah.
Uriah hasn't looked great lately, but I think in this one he's got it. I think I'm going to go with him in this one, slight edge.
He's the California kid,
he
James.
Is the California kid. You know, and that's kind of a heart over head pick. Like, I want him
exactly.
to do good. You know,
yeah.
I want him to do good. So the next fight down, we're going to do Jim Miller versus Kamal Chalarus.
I'm going Chalarus.
Okay.
I got to go Miller. Miller's 8-1 in the UFC. He has proven, like we talked about, he's got the stones, man.
I'm going Miller as well. He's a tough kid. I think it's probably going to be too much for... But again, I did this with Weidman in the last one. You know, I thought the big stage would get to him, and it didn't. But I think I'm going to go with Miller in this one. He's a tough kid.
All right, I'll stand alone.
And next fight, we're going to do Yoshihiro Akiyama versus Nate Marquardt.
You mean Sexyama?
Yes, Sexyama.
I gotta go Marquardt. Not that I'm a huge Marquardt fan, but just based on what I've seen from Akiyama, which is absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I gotta go with Marquardt.
All right, Honest Rob?
If I were a gambling man, I would
don't
never
let him fool you. He is
degenerate.
I would never bet on specifically Japanese fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I that's just my experience watching them fight in the UFC. Always bet against Japanese fighters. So that said, I'm going Marquardt.
I'm going Marquardt as well on that one. I Akiyama just hasn't shown me enough to pick him in this fight.
Yeah.
And then the last one on the main card, Mirko Krokop versus Brendan Schaub.
I'm going to go Schaub. I think he's going to pull it out.
Okay. Honest Rob?
My heart is telling me to go with Krokop, but my brain is telling me to go Schaub. Schaub, like we talked about, way more athletic. But I'm feeling the experience of Krokop. I think he's going to get this one.
Okay. And I think I'm going to go with Schaub on that one. I think Krokop definitely has the experience. And again, he's got that puncher's chance. He's always got that knockout potential. But I think the athleticism of Brendan Schaub is going to shine through on that one.
Yeah.
And then last thing we want to do here on this segment is we're each going to sort of pick a fight that we think is going to be one of the undercards that we think is going to be interesting for whatever reason. So, Brad, what's your fight that you're looking forward to?
Mine's going
to
be Joseph Benavidez versus Ian Loveland.
Okay.
Don't know a whole lot about Ian Loveland, but I love watching Joseph Benavidez. He's like a midget on steroids and speed at the same time. I mean, the dude's just scrappy, and he's, you know, 5 foot nothing, but he will go out there, and he's like a little Tasmanian devil, and he will be all over you, you know, for three, you know, five rounds, whatever it is, he's going to be in your face, and I love that, because it's like, those are never boring fights, you know, kind of disregard for his own health. He's just going to be all on you. So I'm excited to see that one.
Honest, Rob, do you have some stats there on Benavidez?
RJ, yeah, we've got those stats for Benavidez. His last four fights, he's 3-1. He did take a loss back at WEC 50 to Dominic Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Hard to blame him for a loss to Dominic Cruz, though.
Yeah. But he 2 months later, he did fight at WEC 52, and he's coming off a win against Fabiano. So interesting there. You know, mostly a submission fighter. 8 of his wins are coming from submissions.
Okay.
And what is his loss record? I know he lost twice to Dominic Cruz.
Those are actually his only two losses. He's 13-2.
Can you blame someone?
Right.
I mean, Cruz is a very good fighter. So, yeah, that's why I'm excited to see this one, and I think this is going to be a firework. So I hope Ian Loveland has packed for a long night.
All right, so that's Brad's pick. Honest Rob, what's your pick for your fight?
Mine is going to be Kurt Batman Pellegrino versus Gleison Thibeau. I think these fighters each have a lot to prove. They're both experienced. You know, and so Thibeau is coming off that loss to, we were just talking about a little bit earlier, Miller.
Mm-hmm.
They've both beaten a couple of the same guys, like Josh Neer, I'm seeing here. They both kind of beaten.
Dentist.
So. But point being, I think these guys have a lot to prove, and it's kind of surprising that they have fallen as low as they have.
Yeah, that they're this low on the card. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm sort of surprised.
So it has the ability to be more of a main card feeling fight. These guys, you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So.
And, okay, my pick is going to be Edson Barbosa, who is 7-0, undefeated, and has looked pretty darn good in his last couple fights, versus, and I don't know if I'm going to say this guy's name right, it's Anthony Nokuani? I'm going
to
go with that.
Looks good enough to me.
So that's the fight I'm looking forward to in the lightweight division. Edson Barbosa has looked really good. Rob, do you have any stats on him?
Yeah, I sure do here. Barbosa is one that we saw back in Auburn Hills.
Yeah.
And he's actually 7-0 right now. That Mike Lulo fight was the one we saw, his last fight in Auburn. Man, that was great.
And we really didn't know much about him at that point.
Yeah.
But he came out and just looked great.
So yeah, anyway, point being, there's not really much to say. He's 7-0. Looks like 6 of those are KOs or TKOs, and 1 is a submission. So I mean, the guy's great. He's never gone to decision.
When you kick someone's leg till they stop, man.
yeah,
ridiculous. Ask Pat Barry.
That's gonna do it for us here on the TKO. I'm Brad.
I'm Honest Rob with Stats.
And I'm Jason. Remember to never leave it in the hands of the judges.